Jesus lives. Convincing evidence. Brief abstract of this talk. The Bible presents a number of features regarding Jesus' resurrection that are convincing. Many post-resurrection appearances. Appearances to many people at once. Multiple sense appearances. Lengthy appearances. Appearances which convey teaching. We suggest that these indicate that Jesus really did rise from the dead. According to the Bible, on the third day after Jesus' death, his disciples were fearful and discouraged. For instance, John 20:19, on the evening of that first day of the week, the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews. But by the 50th day, they were risking their lives to speak out for him. Acts 2:14, then Peter stood up with the 11, this is in the temple of Jerusalem, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. What happened to them? Well, according to the Bible, they were now convinced that Jesus was alive, been very discouraged by his being put to death by his enemies, but now convinced that Jesus was alive. Acts 1:3. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. They were also now empowered by the Holy Spirit. Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Those who deny the miraculous have proposed other scenarios to explain this. Some suggest that Jesus' disciples stole his body, or that Jesus didn't die on the cross, but only went into a coma, or that Jesus' disciples had hallucinations in which they saw him alive. All these proposals have serious historical problems. See our other PowerPoint talk, Evidence for the Resurrection. Few recent historians doubt that the disciples thought Jesus had risen from the dead. The Bible presents a number of features regarding Jesus' resurrection that are convincing. Many post-resurrection appearances, appearances to many people at once, multiple sense appearances, lengthy appearances, and appearances which convey teaching. Let us walk through some of the accounts of the post-resurrection appearances and then come back and look at these particular items. There are at least 11 appearances, perhaps 13, that are recorded in the New Testament. One, to the women returning from the tomb, Matthew 28:9. Matthew 28:8-10 reads this way. So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy. They had heard the message of the angels that Jesus had risen, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. Greetings, he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me. Secondly, to Mary Magdalene, John 20:11-17. Mary apparently had left the other women when they saw the tomb was empty, but before the angels appeared, and had run to find Peter and John, and they had then run off to look at the tomb, and Jesus and Mary then follows behind them. And when we pick up the narrative here, the two disciples have left the tomb, and Mary's still there. But Mary stood outside the tomb crying, and she wept. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, woman, why are you crying? They've taken my Lord away, she said, and I don't know where they put him. At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize it was Jesus. Woman, he said, why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for? Thinking he was a gardener, she said, sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you put him, and I will get him. Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned toward him, cried out in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. Jesus said, do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them I am returning to my God, Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Third appearance to Peter, 1 Corinthians 15:5 and Luke 24:34. 1 Corinthians 15:3-5, Paul says, "For what I've received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, that he appeared to Peter, and then to the 12. Luke 24:33-34. They, the two that had been on the road to Emmaus and had been met by Jesus, got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together, saying, 'It's true, the Lord is arisen, and has appeared to Simon,'" would presumably be Simon Peter. We don't actually have the appearance narrated, just mentioned in those two places. A fourth appearance to the two on the road to Emmaus, Luke 24:13-31. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it's the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. He said to them, 'How foolish you are, how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the Scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he was going further. But they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening, and the day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight." Appearance 5 to 10 apostles, 1 Corinthians 15:5, Luke 24:36-48, and John 20:19-23. Just look at the John one here, John 20:19 and following. "On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, 'Peace be with you.' After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again Jesus said, 'Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you.' And with that he breathed on them and said, 'Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven.'" Sixth appearance to 11 apostles the next week, John 20:26-29. A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. I might mention here that Thomas, in the intervening verses, had been quite disappointed that Jesus was not there when he was away, that he was not there when Jesus had appeared, and had said, "Unless I put my hand in his side and his wounds, I won't believe." So a week later, the disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Appearance 7, the seven disciples on the shore of Galilee, John 21:1-22. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told him, and they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got in the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you'll find some." When they did, they were unable to haul in the net because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153, but even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, did the same for the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" Eighth appearance to 11 on a mountain in Galilee, Matthew 28:16, possibly the same appearance as 1 Corinthians 15:6. Matthew 28:16, "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus said to them, 'All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me.'" In 1 Corinthians 15:6, in Paul's list, "After that he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep." Possible reason for suggesting that these two appearances are the same appearance is that this is the only appearance we know of where the place of the appearance was specified in advance. They went to the mountain where Jesus has told them to go. So it may well be that there were many of the disciples had been told about it and were there waiting. That would also explain the remark in Matthew 28:17, "But some doubted." Some had not seen Jesus yet since his rising from the dead. Ninth appearance to James, no narration, 1 Corinthians 15:7, "Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles." Tenth appearance to the apostles in Jerusalem at a meal. I might point out, by the way, on 9, that during the gospel period, during the events of Jesus' earthly ministry before his death, his brothers do not appear to accept him as the Messiah, just as we get into Acts, we see that Jesus' brothers are with the disciples, obviously are believers at that point, and we think perhaps this appearance to James is what turned James around, and that then influenced the other brothers of Jesus to believe in him. A tenth appearance to the apostles in Jerusalem at a meal, Acts 1:4-5. "On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave this command, 'Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you've heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.'" Appearance 11 to the apostles at his ascension, 1 Corinthians 15:7, Luke 24:49-51, Acts 1:6-9. We look at the Acts passage, Acts 1:6. "So when they met together, they asked him, 'Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?' He said to them, 'It's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth.' After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight." 12. To Paul on the road to Damascus, 1 Corinthians 15:8, and 3 times in Acts 9:22-26. 1 Corinthians 15:8, "And last of all," says Paul, "he appeared to me also as to one abnormally born. For I am the least of the apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God." Paul then in Acts three times narrates how this appearance of the risen Lord Jesus turned his whole life around. Well, that's the suggested appearances, and depending on whether we separate or collapse some of those narrations, we can get something like 10 to 13 appearances there. Now, as we pointed out before, not only do we have all these appearances, but we have appearances to many at once. The appearance to the women returning from the tomb, there are several women in that group. Appearances 5, 6, and 7 to the disciples in the upper room the evening of the resurrection a week later, and then to the group on the Sea of Galilee. We're looking at groups of apostles, at least seven in the seven in the third category, and presumably around 11 or 12 in the fifth and sixth one there. Number eight, at least the 1 Corinthians 15 reference, refers to an appearance to more than 500 people on a single occasion. Appearances 10 and 11 are also to groups of apostles. So, a number of appearances to many people at a time. There are also a number of multi-sense appearances. All the appearances involve seeing Jesus, and all of them involve hearing him speak. And one in five, and possibly two, and perhaps on other occasions, the disciples touch Jesus. In five, and probably seven and ten, Jesus eats food in their presence. So multiple sense appearances. So we're talking about an appearance of Jesus that's not only just to one person, on one occasion in a very brief time, such as the hallucination type models would propose, but we're talking about something on the order of 10 appearances, and these appearances on some occasions involve half a dozen or more people, and one time 500, and these are multi-sense appearances, seeing Jesus, hearing him speak, touching Jesus, seeing Jesus eat food, etc. They are lengthy appearances. In the appearance 4, on the road to Emmaus, Jesus walks with two disciples for several miles, then waits while food is being prepared. This appearance probably lasts an hour or so. In appearance 5, that's in the upper room a few hours after the appearance on the road to Emmaus, Jesus eats some food and explains a number of Bible passages to the apostles. See that explicitly in the Luke passage. In appearance 7, the disciples drag the boat ashore, count the fish, cook some of them, and eat them, all while Jesus is with them, and then there's a conversation between Jesus and Peter and John at the end of that time as well. So again, a substantial period of time. At least on these three occasions, Jesus' appearance apparently lasted an hour or more. Some of the others may have been rather brief, but at least some of them were rather lengthy. Appearances which convey teaching. Twice Jesus explains Scripture to his disciples on the way to Emmaus and afterwards in Jerusalem. These sessions are probably the sources of the Old Testament interpretations that see Jesus as a fulfillment of Messianic prophecy, which the various New Testament writers give us in their writings. Conclusions. Jesus' disciples were crushed by his death. It was necessary for him to convince his followers that he had risen from the dead. He did. They were later willing to risk death for his sake. The New Testament gives us sufficient evidence that the apostles must be true witnesses, liars, or fools. There's no real fourth alternative. Do you need to be convinced he is living? In John 7:17, Jesus says, "If anyone chooses to do God's will, wants to do God's will, he will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own." If you don't want to do God's will, you will probably find an excuse or another to avoid confronting Jesus until it's too late. But if you want to do God's will, Jesus will give you the information you need. And we try to provide some of that material on our website, imri.org, www.imri.org. We've tried to give you some of it here, but we've got something like 110 PowerPoint talks on that website. The end of this talk, may you encounter the living Jesus.